Take now your Bibles and turn to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10, this words that we are hearing this morning come Zechariah 10 verses 1 through 5. Zechariah 10, verses 1 through 5, and let us go to the Lord in prayer now. Our Father, we do thank You for these words that You speak to us. Our Father, we cannot hear, cannot see You, unless You work in our hearts. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see You. Call us to righteousness and holiness to follow after You, and turn us from our waywardness, even our habitual sins, that we would not end up like the faithless, the ones who turn from You, the false branches. So, Father, we ask that You would hear us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah 10, starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse 5. This is the Word of God, so give your attention to it. Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. The Lord who makes the storm clouds. And He will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. For the teraphim speak iniquity, and the diviners see lying visions and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted, because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the male goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited His flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like His majestic horse in battle. From them will come the cornerstone, from them the tent peg, from them the bow of battle, from them the every ruler, all of them together. They will be as mighty men, treading down the enemy in the mire of the streets in battle, and they will fight, for the Lord will be with them, and the riders on horses will be put to shame. And that is God's word to us. The Lord has certainly blessed the faithful who have come out of the exile, and as they are rebuilding the temple, the persecution continues against them, keeping them from, seemingly holding them back from building the temple, and they have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. If you remember, many chapters ago, they had not obeyed the voice of the Lord to rebuild the temple, and they've given into the persecution and their surrounding circumstances. They've given into the foreign government and oppressors and all who oppose the Lord. And we learn here that all those who do oppose the Lord and His people will be judged. That's what we heard the last chapter. And as we have heard there, Yahweh will come in judgment with His church, and He will save His people. Yet the passage before us reveals a struggle within that visible church. So it's kind of, maybe we might think, playing off what we're learning in John's Gospel. The struggle within the visible church that we've been hearing about there. And there are some shepherds of Judah, all of which who have come out of the exile, being faithful to heed that call of the Lord. And they're showing themselves to be faithless. They seem to be faithful when they came out of the exile. Now they're showing themselves to be faithless. So we have the remnant of Judah who have come out of the exile. And yet in the midst of that remnant, there are false branches. And Yahweh here promises to take them away, to judge them. And the first thing we see in the words of Jesus before us, because remember, as we learn in John's Gospel, these are Jesus' words. We see here a call to the people of Judah to pray. The call to pray. That's the first point. The call to pray. Verse 1. Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. So he calls the people of Judah to pray in the springtime for rain. But it's supposed to rain in spring, right? So why would you pray for it if it's supposed to happen anyway? We see just like here, it is supposed in the springtime, in a couple months, it will rain a lot. Because it's supposed to rain in the spring. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called the spring rain like it is here in Zechariah 10. But here he's telling us we should be praying to the Lord for that. Even for the what seems obvious to us. Why would we call upon the Lord in prayer over something such seems so little, or seems like it's going to happen anyway? Why would we pray to the Lord for that? Aren't there bigger issues to be dealt with? Aren't there bigger issues to pray for? What about the people who are persecuting God's people? Remember their context. Remember our context. Why not pray about our enemies and those who persecute us? But he commands the people to pray for rain for two reasons. First, the first reason we'll look at is in verses 2 and 3, and then we'll come back to verse 1 later. Verse 2, for the teraphim speak iniquity, and the diviners see lying visions and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. And that is, there were in Judah, among the so-called remnant, those who had come out of the exile, there were those who were calling upon household idols. There were those who were calling upon diviners and magicians to bring rain. And so the Lord brings up a simple topic that they're praying to other gods and idols and images about. Rain. You need rain. Everyone knows that you need rain, Judah and church. We today need rain, or what happens? We will die. No rain means no food, famine, death. We need rain. God's people need rain to survive and be blessed on the earth physically. So Yahweh gives this little topic consideration because that's what they're thinking about. That's what they're praying to their other gods about. That's their struggle and their sin. And they know they need rain. So, and you see, there were then many in that remnant who were had begun to trust in idols, not just praying. So that shows that they're trusting in them. They're trusting in these idols, and who have begun to trust in those things who perhaps they had brought out with them from Babylon, or they had gained from their persecutors. Because they're even those diviners that you go to and they tell you dreams, and yet they're meaningless. They're false dreams. They aren't true. They don't show what will happen, and yet certainly they don't provide the rain. They don't decide who gets the rain. They don't decide when the rain comes. They have absolutely no effect on if it rains or not. And so Judah, speaking to Judah, in your worthless and faithless acts of going to these false means, these false gods, what you are doing is truly trusting in yourselves. Or you're trusting in these outside things. And it's vanity. You can't even draw comfort from these things. Because they are false. They're not right. They don't actually show you the future. They cannot provide. They are worthless. They're vanity. And we take part, church, in the same thing today. Every time you don't pray while seeking things in this world, even those things in this world that are good, if you don't pray and ask the Lord for these things while you're seeking, if you're not praying for rain, if you're not praying for a job, if you're seeking a job, a better job, if you're not praying to that, an understanding of what you are called to do in this life, if you're not praying about that and seeking the Lord, if you're going even into spiritual things now, when you seek to grow in faith, when you are seeking to love Christ more and to serve Him and worship Him more, if you're not seeking Him in these things, every time you don't pray and seek the Lord when seeking these things, it is vanity. It is worthless. There is no comfort because you seek idols rather than the Lord of hosts. And this teaches us that all comfort in religion is not always true comfort, because it may rest on an error, heresy, or an idol that will be proved false at the last and destroyed. And that's what Yahweh is saying here. When he gets to verse 2, he says, "Ask rain from the Lord," verse 2, "for," because. "Ask rain from the Lord because the teraphim," the idols, "speak iniquity. The diviners see lying visions and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Ask rain from the Lord because all other things that you're seeking rain through," or whatever it is you're seeking them through other things. You're seeking spiritual, physical provision, protection, growth, all other things you are seeking these things through are completely worthless. And nothing, they will do nothing for you. They are vanity, they are meaningless. It's all in vain. Verse 2 continues and tells you what you are like when you do this. When you seek not the Lord for these things, but you seek idols and diviners and yourself or your own strength to find these things. This is what you're like when you do this. "Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted because there is no shepherd." It reminds me of Judges, the last verse of Judges. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own sight. It's the same thing here. There is no shepherd in the church. Everyone did what was right in their own sight. The sheep wander. And because they wander, they are afflicted. And it's all because there is no shepherd over them. Jesus, Yahweh, is not their shepherd. These false things are shepherding you, which are nothing. And so he says, "Ask from the Lord." He's saying, "Return to me." Why ask of the Lord? What if you don't? What if you don't ask from the Lord and you continue asking from these worthless things, or you're seeking to do, find a job, better job, in yourself? You're just doing it more. Better. Verse 3 says, what will happen? Or why you should ask the Lord and not these other things. "My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the male goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like his majestic horse in battle." What is true of them who have sought out the idols of the diviners, who do so in vanity and wander like sheep and are afflicted, and they don't have a true shepherd? It says the wrath of God abides upon them. His anger, the Lord's holy anger, that which even consumed with fire Nadab and Abihu, Yahweh's anger is against the shepherds, it says first. It's against the shepherds, the leaders of the flock who have wandered. That is the leaders of Judah. The people who have led Judah into doing these things. They will be judged. Because the leaders of the flock have wandered. It's not just the flock itself. Not just the sheep. Here it's the goats. It's not just the goats. It's the actual leaders. The shepherds themselves have wandered. They've left the sheep, basically. They've not only led the people to wander, but they did not rescue them from the dangers. Ezekiel 34 tells us that a good shepherd seeks out his flock when they have been scattered. And in part, that is what the Lord is doing here. That's what the Lord is doing here. He's the shepherd. Calling them back. Bringing them back. Calling them not to be faithless any longer, but to pray. But by faith to pray to the Lord and seek His face. But to those who don't, to the faithless, to the faithless leaders, faithless shepherds, the wrath of God abides upon them. And then he says he also punished the goats, those who follow the bad shepherds. The bad leaders, when you follow bad leaders, this is what happens. You follow them into this great sin of seeking things outside of the Lord. They too will be judged. The goats will. So not just the leaders, but all who are faithless. Even those who came out of the exile. Even those who are perhaps in a visible church. And they'd have turned aside and gone their own way. Why should you pray to the Lord? Because, first, God curses the faithless. He judges them. The second reason why you should pray to the Lord is because God blesses the faithful. God blesses the faithful. The second half of verse 3, He is going to judge the faithless. For, because the Lord of hosts has visited His flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like His majestic horse in battle. He visited His flock because He is the good shepherd. That's why He visits the flock. And again, Ezekiel 34, the promise to the faithful, those who seek the Lord, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ by grace alone, faith alone, and thus they are faithful. Yahweh says to them, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, My servant David, and He shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Now, those who call upon the Lord, beloved, and not on these other things, false things, but rest in Christ alone, they will have the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, and He shall feed them. That is, He shall cause it to rain and provide food and feed them. Why? Because He's sovereign over all creation. He is the Creator. And rain alone comes from Him. All the things that you seek come from Him. Verse 1, the Lord who makes the storm clouds, He gives showers of rain, He gives vegetation food in the field to each man who is faithful to ask of Him to pray. And we've already heard this. Chapter 9, verse 15, as they're like His majestic horse in battle of verse 3, we know He wins the battle, the war. He gets the victory when He's raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God, the Father, right now. He's coming to judge the living and the dead on the last day. And we are like the majestic horse. And He said, as we heard last week, the Lord of hosts will defend them, His faithful church, and they will devour and trample on the sling stones, and they will drink and be boisterous as with wine. So Jesus will wage and win the victory. Wage the war and win the victory, and we will be with Him. And so what a great picture here. God blessing the faithful in Christ, even as it says there, like His majestic horse in battle. And will be provided for. You ask rain from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and He will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. They'll be blessed. God's people will be blessed. Faithful will be blessed. So the first thing we see here is the call to pray. Because God curses the faithless who don't pray to Him, but they seek out other things. And because God blesses the faithful who come and seek His face. And you'll receive nothing unless you ask the Lord. Verse 1, His promise, ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. And then He says, here's what you'll get. And thus seeking the Lord is where our comfort will be. It will not be in vain. We will receive comfort knowing He cares for His sheep. He'll provide for them. And so what is so needful today is not only having the promises, but praying the promises. Praying for promised blessings to come upon God's people as He says they will. Yahweh shows clearly and promises clearly He will bring rain. And yet He says, pray that I may send it. And grain and new wine will flourish. Last chapter we heard that. Then the second point this morning is the answer to prayer. The answer to prayer. Verse 4 literally says, from Him, the Lord, from Him will come the cornerstone, From him the tent peg, from him the bow of battle, from him all rulers go out together. Now what is happening in Judah is that the Lord is sovereign even over those foreign powers against Judah as they attempt to build the temple, and they've been persecuted and that building of the temple has been held back. And as they live and worship Yahweh, the Lord is sovereign. There's persecution where these foreigners have been made to stop Judah from working and establishing themselves. And so in the context, we must ask what kind of people these are. The cornerstone, the tent peg, the bow of battle, and every ruler. Verse 5 shows us what kind of people these are. It says these are mighty men treading down the enemy. So these are good people. They're treading down the enemy. These are good servants of God sent from Him. And what we know is from the context, Judah is in a great need. They are in need of serious help. And yet, even in the midst of that, Yahweh is promising that they would be sufficiently furnished with all that they need. That's what He's promising here. The Lord is standing ready to supply every need. He answers prayer. Beloved, just call upon Him in prayer, and He will answer you. Even Paul understood this for God's people when he said, "My God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And he mentions the cornerstone. And we know in the context that's referring to leadership. The shepherds who have been false and are going to be judged. And so they may be fear amongst the faithful. And Yahweh is saying, "Do not fear, Judah. Yahweh will supply every need, even leaders from amongst yourselves, not from foreigners who are oppressing you, but even from amongst yourselves, He will raise up leaders." And then He will also supply the tent pegs, those things that hold everything together and keep things from falling apart. The sustainability of Judah. Yes, the Lord will provide the sustainability of Judah as well. And the bow of battle, how will Judah overcome their enemies? Well, the Lord provides that. And what about all the rulers who go out together, those who go out to the bordering nations and demand tributes? What do all these show? It shows that Yahweh manifests His care for His people. We might not know the exact meaning of every single part of verse 4, and it's very clear generally what it's saying. The Lord provides everything that we need and helps us in our needs. And He openly shows His grace. You pray, He will answer your prayer. And He'll supply every need. And this promise is what Yahweh does for His people who are fortified by all kinds of help. And thus they are well established or strong enough in the Lord to resist all enemies. We might ask, when's this fulfilled? This promise? When did the Lord answer the faithful of Judah who prayed at this time? Well, this happened first. Historically, the Lord raised up the Maccabees in between the Old Testament and New Testament period and made Judah again to follow the law of God. And yet, no doubt, Yahweh includes all of redemptive history in the promise of answering His people's prayers. And so it's even for you fulfilled today. To you, church, you beloved, you who are faithfully resting in the Lord alone, as we've heard in John's Gospel and calling upon Him in prayer, the church stands firm on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, whom the Father has given for us. And it's at the cross. The cross holds everything together. It sustains us. It is Christ who marches out and defends us against our enemies, and He is our fortress, as we've learned in Zechariah chapter 9, and even in chapter 10. And yet He's also our ruler, our King, who sends forth His gospel to the ends of the earth, calling the nations to pay tribute to Him. So the church stands abundantly firm, is furnished with all needful things while it continues under the protection of God and is endued with sufficient power to resist all His and our enemies. And so we have the answer to prayer, the promise of the Good Shepherd who will come and shepherd the church of God in Christ. And He does this today in our lives in the church. The other promise, or the other answer to the prayer, the promise here we find is also a victory over his and our enemies. Further described, verse 5. They will be as mighty men treading down the enemy in the mire of the streets in battle. And they will fight, for the Lord will be with them. And the riders on horses will be put to shame. It confirms again what has already been promised. So pray, beloved, and have his promises confirmed again and again. That the chosen people of God will be victorious. They will trample down their enemies as mire in the streets of battle as they follow Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ. Yet again, we're not being called to take up physical arms, the swords against God and our enemies, not at all, but rather we're being called to follow Christ, gaining the strength from the Holy Spirit in Christ to win the victory, even over all nations. And so the gospel is going forward and is conquering hearts and souls. And then his word will come in the end and judge. But do not grow weary in your labors, beloved, because it seems perhaps not many are coming to the knowledge of the truth and eternal life in Christ. Because here are the promises of God of victory in Christ, in the souls of his elect, and trampling down those who have turned from him. And how do we know this is true? Verse 5. For the Lord will be with them. And should call your attention back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what he's doing here, calling them to pray. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all these persecutors around, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They don't have comfort when they pray to the other idols. The Lord as shepherd comforts them. Comforts us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved, this is why we must pray, and we must pray to the Lord. That's why Yahweh calls out to you this morning and says, ask. John 14, remember what we've heard? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And that is Yahweh in human history with us by his Spirit. And so the question today is, do you want to be cursed and the wrath of God to be upon you? If that is what you want, then what this passage in Zechariah teaches us is be faithless. Don't pray to the Lord God Almighty, but pray to other things or seek other things. Don't seek the Lord. Seek idols and diviners, things that don't comfort, things that are vanity. And you will receive not only no comfort, but God's just judgment. But if you want blessing, if you want security, comfort in life, life forever, then come to the Lord and ask him in the name of Christ, according to his word. And he promises, I will do it. And the promise we see here that He answers our prayer. And so come to the Lord and ask Him, and you will be blessed forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You and thank You for Your Word. And yet here we know that we have, this past week even, we sought perhaps even good things, and yet we sought it in our own strength, in the world's wisdom, and we have not sought You. And so, Lord, we ask that You would forgive us of our sin and cause us now to continually come back to You and seek Your face. Now, Father, we do have many prayers that we need, or at least we think we need. And we have many pleadings to You of the promises that You've promised to bless us. And so, Father, we ask these things as well, that You will be faithful to us. You will provide every need and supply every need. Protect us and sustain us. And Father, we ask that You would grant to Your people a greater knowledge of the truth, that we may live it out in our lives. Enable us to be holy as You are holy. Sanctify us. Put to death the sin that remains in us. Lord, even physically, we ask that You would provide rain, so that You would provide food and continually provide for us, that we might be able to continue serving and worshiping You on this earth while You have us here. And Father, we ask that You would provide health to those who are sick or whose bodies are struggling, because You are the great healer and You promise to heal us. Well, Father, we ask that You would encourage us, comfort us, as You are the comforter. And Lord, let us not worship You vainly, but worship You in truth and according as Your Spirit works within our hearts. And Father, hear our prayers. And we know that You do. Answer our prayers. That we also know that You do. And so we praise You already for the answered prayers that You will answer from what we have just prayed. Because You are a great God, a wonderful God, who loves and cares for us, and is all-powerful and stands protecting us, even as we'll learn this evening in 2 Kings, with a great army that surrounds Your people, even if we can't see it. We thank You for that. We thank You for who You are. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.